Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another illustrious edition of the Regular Guy Wrestle Talk. I am your host, Matt Granberry. Wow. Well, as of this recording, we just came off one of, if not the most unique WrestleMania weekends ever. Instead of a huge arena and 80,000 screaming fans, we had the Performance Center and no fans. I know it was a little different. Well, no, it was a lot different. But I gotta say, I know on this show, I have criticized the WWE a lot. I've criticized Vince McMahon a lot. But I want to go ahead and take this opportunity to thank the WWE and thank Vince McMahon for still trying to provide us with entertainment, with professional wrestling. He can call it sports entertainment all he wants. But to provide us with the product that we love to watch during this time, during these uncertain times. And I know I shit on him a lot. I shit on the company a lot because I don't agree with what they do a lot. But I've said before, this is not an anti-WWE show. I just, again, happen to disagree with them a lot. But I agree with them in this. Thank you, WWE. Thank you, Vince McMahon, for still providing entertainment for us and to help us take our minds off the situations in the world. With that being said, some takeaways that I took away from this WrestleMania. I'm not going to go over every single match, but things that did stand out for me. Number one, that ladder match, even though it was for the tag team titles, and even though it was kind of thrown together last minute, those three individuals, Jimmy Uso, Kofi Kingston, John Morrison, put on one hell of a match. And again, things outside of their control, you know, forced them to do this. This is what wrestling companies do. They adjust on the fly. They adapt. They overcome. So, it was a triple threat match for the tag team titles with three single competitors. Still managed to put on a great match. The Universal Championship match went just as I suspected it would be. It was short, wasn't sweet, because if you follow me on Twitter, at IllustriousMG40, you've noticed that I've used the hashtag ScrewBraun because of his comments towards the independent wrestlers. Well, I still say ScrewBraun, and now I can't wait for Roman Reigns to come back and take that title from him. I'm sorry, I don't like the guy. He should have chosen his words more carefully. But I can totally understand why they took the Universal title off of Goldberg. I mean, hello, Goldberg's a part-timer, for one. Goldberg's, you know, he's not going to be able to do the schedule that demands of a top-tier champion. So put it on Braun and give Braun a WrestleMania moment, even though he basically ran down his fellow professional wrestlers who, I'm sorry, just haven't gotten the break that he has, who doesn't have a guaranteed contract where you get paid. You know, they couldn't have predicted this. But again, I'm not going to get on my soapbox about it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to let that one slide, and hopefully we'll get Roman Reigns or maybe even The Fiend. You know, will happen. We'll wait and see. Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens, I think, was the best match of night one. It was pure heel versus a pure baby face. Well, maybe not a pure baby face, but guys that can play both heel and face. And I'm sorry, the storytelling was absolutely great. Seth Rollins, hey, I'm the Monday Night Messiah. I'm the best thing since sliced bread. Kevin Owens, no, you're not, and I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to prove it. I know it goes a little bit deeper than that, but in the end, I liked that they restarted the match after, you know, Seth, you know, it was going to be a hollow victory for Kevin Owens, and, you know, Kevin Owens being Kevin Owens, his character right now, saying, no, you're not going to win like that. And, of course, that spot off the sign, holy crap. Oh, man. But I enjoyed it. And, of course, the highlight. Before I get to the highlight, I got to say this. And I'm going to get hate for it. I know I am. I am going to get so much hate for it. I am going to get crucified on social media. But I don't care. Becky Lynch should not have won that match. That is my honest gut level opinion on it. Agree with me, disagree, I don't care. Becky Lynch should not have won that match. I'm so, I call me fickle, call me whatever you want, I don't care. I'll still sleep easy at night. Becky Lynch should have lost this match. But my very good friends over at the Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, check them out wherever you get your podcast from. They pointed out that the longest reigning champion, the longest reigning Raw Women's Champion, not going to lose in front of an arena full of no fans. So hopefully when all this crap blows over at SummerSlam, they're saying, yeah, then she'll lose. Well, maybe it'll be against Shayna Baszler. Maybe it'll be against Ronda Rousey. I've heard rumors that she may be coming back. Maybe it'll be a triple threat between the two of them. I don't know. But again, I don't think Becky should have won this match. But she did. I know I can complain until my face turns blue. It's not going to change the fact that Becky won the match. And for all the Becky fans out there, hey, your girl won. I don't have to like it. In fact, I don't like it. I'm sorry. Her character has become as stale as two-month-old crackers for me. It's just how I feel, y'all. It's nothing personal against her. It's just her character is not connecting with me at all. But anyway, let's get to the highlight of the entire event. Oh, my God. We need more matches like the Boneyard match. And the execution, the presentation. Oh, my God, the presentation. The presentation of this match. Oh, it looked like an action movie. I loved it. We need more of this. WWE may have stumbled upon a little freaking gold mine here. This was wonderful. This was absolutely wonderful. And I'm sorry, Pro Wrestling Illustrated for calling it cringeworthy? Screw you guys. That was a great match. I don't care if you are the authority on pro wrestling, PWI, to call that match cringeworthy? Wrong. 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 That was a great match. We need more matches like that. I vote for more matches like that. Presented like that. In kind of a cinematic style. I loved it. And if you looked on wrestling Twitter, a lot of other people, in fact, pretty much the entire wrestling community online, loved it. In fact, a lot of people were calling that Undertaker's best match in a long time. Excuse me. But yeah, it was great. It was wonderful. I loved it. Need more of it. Okay, night two. What can I say about night two? It kind of fell flat for me. There were a couple highlights. Rhea Ripley and Charlotte. Now, I know I wanted Rhea Ripley to win. I don't think Charlotte needed an 11th championship, but it is what it is. She's now the NXT Women's Champion. Whether, you know, now she's in NXT. I get it. Is it to boost the ratings? I don't know. Maybe. Possibly. But I can see these two having a long-term feud, because you know there's going to be a rematch. Excuse me. But it was a long match, yes. And they kept kicking out of their finishers. But hey, I liked it for what it's worth. The Firefly Funhouse match. Okay, it made no sense to me. I'll be totally honest with you guys. Made no damn sense to me whatsoever. I don't get it. What was the deal with the NWO spot? I have no earthly idea what the hell was going on here. You know, some of you guys might say, oh, it was all about storytelling. Okay, if it was storytelling, okay, I get that. That's fine. But, again, was it supposed to be a journey through Cena's failures? Was it supposed to be, you know, trying to unhinge him or what? It was weird. And it was like 30 seconds of an actual match. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. In fact, the term "what the fuck" kept coming into my mind. Anyway, but I just want to say one thing only. With the Brock and Drew match, yes, it was short. They ain't getting paid by the hour. But Drew McIntyre finally had his WrestleMania moment. He's the new WWE champion. And I, for one, am happy for him. I know a lot of people are happy for him. He's worked hard. He deserves this. So, kudos to Drew McIntyre. And kudos to Brock Lesnar. Don't particularly like the guy, but he knows a good talent when he sees one. And for him to put Drew over, hey, maybe he's not a total asshole. Maybe. Oh, and excuse me. Oh, and one more thing. Before I wrap everything up here, a lot of people were kind of wondering about the ending to the Intercontinental title match. I say keep the belt on Sammy. Change the belt, because I hate that belt. It's an ugly belt. But keep the belt on Sammy. You know me, I love a good heel champion. Sammy's a good heel. And Sammy has worked hard to have a singles championship. So what? Daniel Bryan didn't win. So what? He may get another opportunity down the road. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? But I say keep the belt on Sammy for a little bit longer. You know, heel champions drive storylines. Heel champions make it fun. So, I didn't have a problem with Sammy retaining it. I really didn't. But anyway, I'm happy everyone watched. I'm happy for the WWE for, again, giving us this form of entertainment to get us through, to take our minds off everything. That was my take. I didn't go over every single match because, well, that's just not what I do. Because you guys can make your own opinions. I'm just sharing what my takeaways from this. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you to the entire DYW TSB crew, Mort Pops Queen, all the beef crew. Love you guys. Thank you to PowerSlam TV for being a great sponsor. Thank you to Synergy Wrestling for being such a great partner. Love you guys. Those are my takeaways from WrestleMania. I hope you enjoyed these past 14, 15 minutes of me just rambling on. But anyway, guys, be safe out there. We'll talk to you again next week. Be kind to one another and support each other in our mutual love of pro wrestling. We'll see you later.